going to be in John chapter 10, the famous Good Shepherd passage. I don't sing specials very often in church, but I think I'd like to sing one for you today. I'm going to do it a cappella, if that's okay. Would that be all right? All right. I actually wrote this song. I did. This is an original. Can you stand that? And in this passage, Jesus says he's the good shepherd and we're the sheep. And I decided I was going to write this song from the perspective of the sheep and what it's like for the sheep worshiping our good shepherd. All right, let me get my throat clear. Thank you. Some of you need you've had your coronary heart check. I saw you jump. Really, sometimes when we come before the Lord and we recognize that when Jesus calls us sheep, you do understand that's not a compliment, right? Because about all we can get out before the Lord some days is, bah, you know. All right. Let's look at our verses today. This is John chapter 21, verses 1 through 21. John 21, John 10, 1 through 21. Well, I have 21 on my mind, but it's John 10. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. Him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd." "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." A division occurred again among the Jews because of these words, and many of them were saying, "He has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not the sayings of one demon-possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he?" Father, I ask your blessing on the preaching of your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. You know, and by this statement, Jesus was not just making a great claim about himself, but he was also giving an example for us as his disciples to follow. A disciple is not just someone who knows the truth. A disciple is someone who follows no matter the cost. Jesus said in John 8:31, you are truly my disciples if you keep obeying my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We preached about that a few weeks back. And Jesus will say in the chapters ahead in John's gospel, by this the world will know that you are my disciple in that you love one another. Today I want us to look at this claim of Jesus about himself and then learn how to actually apply that to our own lives so that we will be disciples, so that we will be followers. So first question I want to put to you today is, what makes Jesus different from all of the other shepherds? We could break this passage down, and the very first thing that ought to jump out at us is his goodness. You notice what he said, I am the good shepherd. He said that in verses 11 and 14. He didn't say, I am a shepherd. He didn't say, I am a good shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. Now, yes, I know that I'm not the smartest fellow in the world, but I do understand what the word the means. That is a definite article. It means the unique, the only one. That means there's no other like Jesus. Now, all of us like Jesus at times claim to be good. But are we really good? I've had couples in counseling before, and I've had a husband look me straight in the eye with complete seriousness, and a wife look me straight in the eye with complete sincerity and say, I am a good husband or wife. Yes, I have cheated and been unfaithful, but I'm a good husband, a good wife. And I have to tell them, no, you're not. No, you're not. How many times have employees said, I'm a good worker? But yet they come in late, leave early, pad the timesheet, don't do as they're told, and yet claim, I'm a good worker. And then let's bring it on home. How many of us say, well, I'm a good Christian? But as we talked about in our youth Sunday school class this morning, is there enough evidence if you were put on trial for being a Christian to convict you? Would you be found guilty, or would there be reasonable doubt in the mind of the jury? Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, that there is none good, no, not one. Not one of us. We are all sinners. And in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus simply proclaimed that only God is good. And so we have no goodness on our own, so none of us can be a good shepherd, much less the good shepherd. But Jesus is the good shepherd. All right? Remember what Psalm 34 and verse 8, one of my favorite psalms. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Nobody else can be called good. So, we know that he's different from all the other shepherds because he's good. But besides his goodness, there's his commitment. You see what Jesus said in verse 11? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus was committed to one thing, and that was fulfilling the Father's will. And the greatest proof of that is his willingness to die on the cross, to lay down his life for us. Now, You can find people all over this world willing to lay down their lives for someone as a substitute when it's someone they love. But how many of us are willing to sacrifice our lives for someone who is evil, who would spit in our face if given the chance, slap us and run us down? I have no problem standing here and saying, not me. Not me. I'd like to think I'd be able to give up my life for my family if the situation ever called for it. But an enemy? Not going to happen. Not going to do it. I'm not that committed. But Jesus is. Remember the words of Paul in Philippians chapter 2 where it says that Jesus, while being in the very form of God, emptied himself. In other words, he rejected all the rights that he had as God's son. And what did he do? Paul went on to say, taking on the form of a servant and being made in the likeness of men, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's what Jesus did. Only God, only the Good Shepherd, could be committed to such a cause. But what else sets Jesus apart? Yeah, his goodness, his commitment. But what about his courage? See what Jesus said in verses 12 and 13 there in your Bible? He talks about, there can be a hired hand. It was common in that day that there would be shepherds, the owner of the flock, but then they would also, if they had a really large flock, they would contract out with a hired shepherd to watch over the sheep. And what happens if an enemy comes up against the sheep, a wolf or a bear? What did David do when he was a young shepherd? He took matters into his own hands because those were his sheep. He was responsible for them. Now, if you're a weekend warrior shepherd, you're not going to wrestle a lion with your bare hands. You're going to go, sorry, sheep, I'm out of here. You're gone. But not Jesus. Now, I'm amazed that you find that there's a lot of folks in this world that are willing to do dangerous, and I don't like to use this word, but it's the only word that I can use, dumb stuff. I don't like that word. It's an ugly word, but there are people that do some dumb and dangerous stuff for the almighty dollar. Every Sunday, this afternoon, there's going to be fields full of NFL players that are going to risk their health. And what are they doing it for? Money. Oh, you might find one or two that say they're doing it for the love of the game, but if you stop paying them, are they going to keep playing? All right? But they're willing to jeopardize their health, their family, their future. Why? Because of the dollar. But how many of us would be courageous enough to be willing to suffer a painful, agonizing death for an ungrateful stranger? That's what Jesus did. He was courageous enough. Remember when Jesus spoke of his upcoming crucifixion, his death? Peter, I'll die with you, Lord. I'll die with you, Lord. I'll go to the cross with you, Lord. And as soon as the folks showed up with the torches in the garden at midnight, you know what happened? Peter denied Christ and ran away. The rest of them did too. Jesus went to war with the greatest enemy of the universe, Satan and death itself. Another thing that makes Jesus different from all the other shepherds is his knowledge. You see in verse 14 where Jesus said, I am a good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. My sheep know me, but before they even knew me, I knew them. You know, we're pretty foolish, aren't we? Sometimes we convince ourselves that we can get away with anything. We think that we can play some silly religion game and come to church and hide the hatred and anger and sin in our heart and say we love Jesus and hate those that love Jesus and convince ourselves we're okay. But you know what? Jesus knows different. We could say we follow Jesus, but yet during the week we go places where Jesus isn't going to go. And we say we love Jesus and we follow Jesus, but Jesus knows better. We could say we love Jesus and display enough piety to attract attention to ourselves, but Jesus knows better. Jesus knows that all we're attracting is a swarm of flies. There's that old saying, you know, you can fool some of the people some of the time. Why, how does, remember how it finishes? Can't fool all the people all the time. Let me add another clause to that. You can't fool God any of the time. All right? So, folks, because of his knowledge, there's no sense being phony. Be transparent. Allow God the chance to change your heart, to change your mind, to mold you into his likeness. Because his knowledge sets him apart. Since he knows all there is to know about us, what do you know about Jesus? In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6, do you know that if we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth? Do you know that? Let's keep going in 1 John 1. In verse 7, do you know that if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin? Amen. Keep going in verse 8 in 1 John 1. Do you know that if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us? Do we know what John wrote in verse 9? That if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do we know what he said in verse 10? That if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Do we know Jesus? The only way to know him is to come to him, embrace him, asking him to forgive you of your sin. Agree with him that you are a sinner and you need to be saved. And find that forgiveness. Another thing that sets him apart as the good shepherd from all the other shepherds is his devotion. Notice what Jesus said in verse 16, the first part of that. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. Jesus doesn't believe in cliques, little favorite circles. Would you be shocked to know that Jesus really doesn't care how you dress or how you look or what language you speak? He doesn't care if you're wearing the garb of a shepherd or the three-piece suit or the blue collar. He doesn't care if your first language is English, Russian, whatever. You see, Jesus was talking about the Gentiles. He was talking about those who are not Jewish. Most of his listeners that day were intensely racist at the Gentiles. And he was putting it out there. Jesus loves the person you have the trouble loving the most. And if you can't love that person, you can't love Jesus. Because Jesus says in verse 16, they're going to listen to my voice. And we're going to be one flock with one shepherd. In Christ's church, there's oneness. And if there's not, somebody's not loving Jesus as they should. And let's look at the last thing, his authority. Look at verse 17. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me. You see that? But I lay it down of my own initiative. Jesus said, I'm the one that's choosing to do it. My initiative. I'm going to choose the time, the place, and the manner of my death. I'm going to orchestrate all of that. And not only do I have the authority to lay it down in the manner, time, place of my choosing, but God has given me, the Father has given me the authority to take my life up again at just the right moment. Don't lose sight in that Great Commission passage in Matthew chapter 28 when Jesus says that all authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth. You know what? As his sheep, under his authority by extension, we also have great authority and power as believers in Jesus Christ. So let's wind this message up today. So what are we to do? Yes, Jesus is the good shepherd. The question is, what do I need to do to be like Jesus? What do I need to do to become a true disciple? And remember, disciple means follower. Remember this. You're never going to be good. I'm never going to be good on my own. You'll never be good on your own. But you can have God's goodness in your life. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, Paul said, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." We as followers of Jesus can do the good works of God because God has given us that authority, that ability to do that. So are you doing the good works of following Jesus? Another thing. We'll never equal the commitment of Jesus. But we can commit ourselves to him and to allowing him to work mightily in us. In Psalm 37, verses 5 and 6, we're told, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light." You catch that? When you commit yourself to the Lord, your righteousness will come forth like a light. I used in our youth Sunday school class this morning the ludicrous example of a man carrying a great big Bible. And what I did was, there was a big Bible in the youth room, and I picked up a big Bible, and I walked around and said, "Now, if I walk around carrying this great big Bible with me all the time, and then I read it in the manner of, 'Yea, verily, thus hath God said.'" And if that's the extent of my religion, all the outward stuff, is there much light being shined there? No. No. It's that day in, day out, I'm committed to Jesus. And it doesn't matter what everybody else around me is doing. It doesn't matter what they say. I'm just committed to Jesus. And I love him. And I'm not worried about what other people think. I'm just worried about what he thinks, the good shepherd. And what happens is then, is what the psalmist says. Our righteousness, His righteousness in us, starts shining out like a light. Well, Pastor, I sometimes lack courage in the midst of adversity. You know what? Philippians 4:13 is still in my Bible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's still there. It doesn't matter if we lack courage in adversity. Just trust in Jesus. And let Jesus do it through you. Well, Pastor, I'm not the smartest fellow in the world. I'll never attain the wisdom of Jesus. You know what the Lord says? The Lord says that if we'll embrace Jesus and trust Him, that we will from Him receive all the knowledge and wisdom that we'll need. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3, speaking of Jesus, it says, in Jesus, in Him, is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You can read on in the book of Acts after John's gospel, and where Peter and John are testifying before the Sanhedrin, the religious court. All those educated men, the lawyers, the judges, all those guys are there. And it says they marveled at their wisdom. Going, aren't these simple fishermen? Aren't these country boys from Galilee? They're so wise. And then the ultimate compliment came. It says they knew they'd been with Jesus. Oh, we might not possess the devotion to the unity of the flock that Jesus has. Paul went on to say in Colossians 3:14, but beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. I'm not a king. I'm not an emperor. I don't have authority over people. You're not a king. You're not an emperor. You don't have authority over folks. But you know what? The Lord says, I have given you my authority. What is that authority to do? It's the Great Commission. Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are the good shepherd. Thank you that you gave your life for the sheep. Thank you that you took your life up again. And Father, our response to you as the sheep, simply to follow. Who else are we going to follow? Lord, are we going to follow ourselves? So all that happens is we get lost and exposed to danger and the elements. Lord, are we going to follow some other shepherd? So Lord, we know that, as you said in this passage, all the other shepherds are thieves and liars. Lord, help us to simply follow you. Bless this invitation now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.